Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
When we look down at the Earth from space, you know, we see this amazing, indescribably beautiful planet. It looks like a living, breathing organism, but it also, at the same time, looks extremely fragile.
Because you go outside on a clear day and it's the big blue sky, and it's like it goes on forever, right? And how could we possibly, you know, put enough stuff into it to fill it up with things that really change it? And yet, you see it from space, and it's this thin line which is just barely hugging the surface of the planet.
Anybody else who's ever gone to space says the same thing, because it really is striking and it's really sobering to see this paper-thin layer and to realize that that little paper-thin layer is all that protects every living thing on Earth from death, basically, from the harshness of space.
There's this very poetic concept that a lot of people express, that there are no boundaries from space. And I've heard a lot of my astronaut colleagues say that. Unfortunately, it's not true. You do see boundaries. They're mostly the result of human impact. You can see erosion, clear cutting of forests, and you know, it's a long litany of environmental impact that we've had on our planet, and that's something which, when you see it from a cosmic perspective, makes you really appreciate the concept of spaceship Earth, and that we're all here together.
We have this connection to Earth. I mean, it's our home. And I don't know how you can come back and not, you know, in some way be changed. It may be subtle. You see differences in, you know, different people and the just general response when they come back from space. But I think collectively everybody has that emblazoned on their memories, the way the planet looks. You know, you can't take that lightly. It really, you know, you realize that you've been blessed by the opportunity to see that.
It really does look like this beautiful oasis out in the middle of nothingness. And if you have a chance for your eyes to adjust and you can actually see the stars in the Milky Way, you know, it's this oasis in against the backdrop of infinity, you know, of this just, you know, enormous universe behind it. And it's, you know, really a very moving experience to be able to see that with your eyes.
You look back at it and it's placed perfectly from the sun to take care of us. And you kind of take that reverse role on about, okay, well, we need to be taking care of it too, so that it can continue to do that for us. And I don't know how you can't have a greater appreciation for it after you see it that way.
The reading today is Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." It was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the good news of the Lord.
This morning, we continue with our second week in our sermon series, The Overview Effect. Last week, we talked about how we could learn from the astronauts how to keep a God-like perspective by hearing from them and how they were changed as they gazed down on Earth from space. And this week, this morning, what we're going to talk about is God's good creation and our responsibility as God's children, human beings here on earth, in caring for and managing that creation. I would invite you to pray with me. Holy and gracious God, we pray this morning that our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds will be open to hear the message you have for each of us, God. I pray that my words would be your words, that this message be a demonstration of your Spirit's power and nothing of my own. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you bring my Bible? It's going to be a key thing this morning. Thank you. So, we've been given power, the ability to rule. In the scripture you heard Terry read, it says dominion. We've been given dominion over all that God created. And I was thinking as I read that scripture and I was internalizing it, what do we think of the word dominion? What does dominion mean to us as human beings? So I went to the place we all go when we want to know what a word means, Webster. And I looked it up, and here's what it says. It's the definition of dominion. It's the power to rule, control of a country or a region, or absolute ownership. Friends, I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds like some pretty great power. Dominion. And the scripture says we have dominion over all that makes up earth. All that the astronauts were talking about seeing, everything we talked about last week. How could we possibly use up or impact that gigantic body, our Earth? I thought the astronaut who talked about the seemingly endless blue sky gave us a good perspective, because it is just that, seemingly endless. It does, in fact, end. He talked about looking down in space and seeing the paper-thin layer that protects us from the vastness of space. It does end, the oasis against the backdrop of infinity. That's what we're given dominion over. And we know from what the astronauts were saying that humanity has made a real impact on that oasis. From space, they can see the boundaries that we have created. So we do have dominion over our planet. That's evident from what they see in space, and it's evident to us as Christians because in Genesis, we are told by God that we do. However, I am challenged by this idea that maybe humans, we don't typically understand dominion or power in the way that God does. I think our views are often off balance or misaligned when it comes to this word. You see, we hear the words power, dominion, control, rule, and we think of a free pass, get to do what I want. After all, kings don't want for anything, right? Rulers get what they want, and they get it when they want it. So if we, our scripture says, are rulers, kings and queens over all of creation, then why not do what we want? What's to stop us? Why not get what we would please to take? But is that really how God understands dominion and power? I don't think so. You see, I think the way we know how God understands dominion and power is through the model of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God showed us what God thinks about being a ruler. In fact, God used the most powerless action to do the most powerful thing. By death on a cross, we find ourselves saved. You see, in Jesus' day, in his community, that punishment was meant for the lowest of the community, for the most powerless. Yet it was there that God did the amazing work of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and our salvation, our saving from ourselves and from our sin. God exercised God's greatest power in what we as humans would think of a powerless way. When Jesus continued to defy our understanding of power even after his resurrection, he didn't use this time to seek vengeance or to retaliate. Instead, he went around forgiving and showing love to the very people who had deserted him, even the ones who betrayed him themselves. Jesus had a different view of power. He showed us what it means to be godlike in our use of dominion. Our understanding of power and dominion is often off balance. When Jesus walked this earth, he served others. Jesus reached out and served the least of these, sometimes literally on his knees, washing the feet of fishermen. God's understanding of power was shown to us through a servant king, Christ, who sought to put others' needs above his own, a king who wanted, a king who thirsts, a king who hungered, a king who longed for companions to understand the world and love the way that he did, a servant king. That's God's model of dominion and power. So how do we stay focused there? How does that translate for us and our exercise of dominion over creation? Well, I think the way we keep that perspective and we stay focused on that is first to remember where the dominion comes from. Last week, we heard the psalm read that praised God as King of all. And we heard the creation story that tells us that all things, all of the planet and all people come into being through God. So when we remember that our dominion is gifted to us just like our salvation, and that everything that we have dominion over was gifted to us, that our own very lives are a gift to us from God, then we're able to latch on to the servant kingship, to God's way of looking at power and dominion. I want to read this morning for you the creation story that we find in our New Testament. In the Gospel of John, if you have a Bible or a Bible app on your phone and you want to read along, I'd invite you to open up there. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." If you're not familiar with this gospel, the Word that author is talking about is Jesus Christ. This is the proclamation that Christ, Jesus, is God, one of three persons, our Holy Trinity, unified as our God, our Creator, and it says, all things came into being through him, through God. And what has come into being? It says life. Life itself. So if we want to hold on to a godlike perspective of how to use dominion, we got to remember our origins and the origins of the dominion and the origins of the planet, which is that it all came into being through God. We remember last week that we are but grains of sand in a desert, a tiny fraction of a bigger picture. That's how we latch on and hang on to the God-like perspective of power. So yes, we are a small part of something greater, but there's another important piece here. That is that God gave us free will. So we choose. We get to choose how we exercise our dominion over this beautiful planet. We get to choose to either use, abuse, and consume God's creation, life, or we can choose to cultivate, bless, and grow among God's creation. In the children's message, I talked about loving our planet, and I think that's an important piece of the puzzle. It's not just about recycling or using a reusable water bottle. It's about loving God's creation. It's about seeing the world through the eyes of Christ. Because when we love something, we care for it, we protect it, we stand up for it, we will replenish it, we use the resources wisely, and we will become a blessing to our environment rather than a hazard. Yes, we have dominion and ability to grow mass amounts of food, to build great cities from natural resources, to power vehicles from the depths of the earth, to control and breed animals for food supply and resources, but that does not give us the free pass to take on the human king-like ruler perspective and say, all for me and more is better. Rather, God gives us the dominion in Genesis. He tells us, yes, dominion over earth, then gives us instruction, imagine that, for how to exercise that dominion. We look in Luke, in the New Testament, and we read a parable. Jesus used parables to teach his followers moral lessons, ways of looking at the world differently. And this one, for us this morning, when we talk about how we are going to exercise dominion or power, is appropriate. I'm going to start in chapter 12, verse 43. Blessed is the slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and if he begins to beat the other slaves, men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. That slave who knew what his master wanted but did not prepare himself or do what was wanted will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, much will be demanded. Now that can be very violent on its surface. If we look past the cultural context of slavery, which was a very real and present thing in the day of Jesus' life here on earth, and he's using things in his parables that the people would understand. If we look past all of that and we really dig down and grab onto the moral, the lesson that the parable is trying to teach us, it works for us here today, which is that the greater the responsibility, the greater the consequences of action. Whether the consequences be good or bad, positive or negative, when we are entrusted with more, we have greater power, the consequences will be greater. And when God entrusts us or asks us to be responsible for more, then God has a higher expectation. We have to be more. It says that we have more demanded of us because of this great power, this dominion. That more demanded, friends, I think looks like this. We must commit ourselves to God's model of power, to God's Christ-like model, a model that cultivated love and faith among creation, a model that blessed all that was around him and that he touched. When Jesus walked the earth, he was a model that grew love, love of God and love of others. When we follow that model of dominion, then we don't take for the pleasing. Rather, we give. We give love to our earth. We use only what we need and not anymore. And we stand up for creation when others seek to use and misuse and abuse and consume her. Or we don't. Because, like I said a few minutes ago, we have free will. We have a choice. And when we don't, we see the great consequences of that choice. The astronauts talked about the boundaries, the deforestation, the pollution that is visible from space. Great responsibility means great consequences faction. So we can choose actions that result in blessing our earth, God's creation, as it said in the Gospel of John, life itself. Or we can choose actions that consume her. This morning I focused on how we exercise our power and our dominion in the environment, our natural world, because in Genesis we're told we have that opportunity. But as I was putting together this morning's message and really listening to the Holy Spirit, I was also prompted to ask a couple of other things, like, okay, this is how we look at power and dominion and how sometimes we get off balance in our natural world. So how do we play out our power, our dominion, or our roles in our family environments? Do we sometimes get misaligned there too? How about in our church environment? Do we sometimes find ourselves off balance, losing our God-like perspective in those places? So how would this look? Are we using, abusing, and consuming in those places, in our families and in our church? Are we merely kings and queens who take what we want and seek to please ourselves at the expense of others? Or are we modeling the Christ-like power of servant kingship? Are we seeking to put others' needs before our own? Do we seek to cultivate the love of God in our families and in our church? Do we seek to bless others in our family and in our church? And do we seek to grow in our own faith and to help others grow in their faith in those places? Or do we use our roles to exert a human-like power that serves ourselves to get the things that we want when we want them? How does that look in a family? In a family, this might look like domestic violence. That is a gross misuse, abuse of power and dominion. And if you or someone you know is in a situation where you are being abused at home by family, I would encourage you to speak to myself or another pastor. We have a ministry here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church that seeks to help you get out. It's called Safe Haven, and we want that for you. We want a safe haven for you. So I would encourage you, if that's your situation, to come to us and to let us help you. But it doesn't always look like abuse when we misuse our role in the family. Sometimes it just looks selfish or self-centered. We misuse our role when we seek to serve our own needs, when we expect our family to meet our expectations. We don't care about theirs. Or we can choose to cultivate, bless, and grow in our families, and using the Christ-like model of servant kingship, of servant ruler, and seek to meet their needs above ours. That's the choice we have in our family environment. How does this look in our church environment? How could we misuse our role here in the church? Well, I can give you a question, a sort of a self-assessment, if you will, a way for you to have a red flag to yourself. The only thing you need to ask yourself when you're participating in some way in the church and you're unsure if it's a use or a misuse of your role is to say this: does what I'm doing bring unity or division to this situation? Does what I'm doing bring unity or division to this meeting? Does what I'm doing bring unity or division to this worship experience? Does what I'm doing bring unity or division to this mission? If the answer is unity, you know you're on track. But friends, when we bring division, we misuse our roles. When we choose an agenda, whatever it may be, a Sunday school curriculum, a mission project, something to do with worship, but when we hold on to that, regardless of the opinions of others, regardless of the mission of the church, we misuse our roles. Remember, we can choose to misuse, abuse, and consume, or we can choose to cultivate, bless, and grow. Now, that's not to say that we don't bring our ideas to the table. And that's not to say that we don't have disagreements. We certainly do. But we want to know, is our idea attempting to bring unity, unity among the people, unity among leadership, and unity among vision of the church, or is it not? And if it's not, that might be the time that we rethink what we're doing and why we are doing it. Because when we become divisive as a church family, we are not glorifying God. And imagine this, there are some more instructions for us in this good book. We're not the first church family and many others to have to struggle with unity. We're people. We find in the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1, I'm going to read you one verse. It's verse 10. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. United in the same mind and the same purpose. No divisions. That is our calling as members of the body of Christ. So when we take on the servant kingship role that Jesus modeled to us, when we approach our role in our natural environment, in our family environment, and in our church environment, from the way that God shows us, we ignite unity. And when we ignite unity as a church, we are living out our call. When we come at this from the human king and queen-like perspective, we seek to fill our own needs, we will cause division. So our question again is, will we choose to use, abuse, and consume our church environment, or will we choose to cultivate and bless and grow within it? God gives us dominion. God also gives us every single thing we have dominion over. It's my hope and prayer this morning that we can remember the source of our dominion, the source of creation, the source of life. It's my hope and prayer that we use our dominion in the natural world, our roles in our families, and our roles here in church to cultivate the love of God among everything and everyone we meet, to grow in our faith and to help others grow in theirs, and to be a blessing to our environment, to our families, and to our church. May we remember that to whom much is given, much is required. And may we be united in our mind and purpose. Friends, let's speak for the trees. Let's cultivate, bless, and grow through our servant leadership everywhere we meet one another. Will you pray with me? Holy, awesome God, our Creator, our Savior, we just pray this morning that we might see this beautiful planet through your eyes, Lord, that we might seek to love it, to cultivate it, to grow it, to bless it, God. God, we thank you for our families, for all those loved ones that you have placed with us. You have knit us together with that special word, family. God, we pray that we would be servant kings and queens in our families, that we would seek to put everyone else's needs above our own, just as you taught us in Jesus' life. God, we thank you for our church, for this beautiful piece of the body of Christ, this way you have allowed for us to participate in your work, your mighty acts here in our community and abroad. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for this church, Lord. We pray that each of us will be ignited to bring unity here, that we might be a part of something bigger and greater than ourselves, God. We thank you for all you have given to us, and we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that it will be written on our hearts as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.